The following conference is one of a second series of retreat conferences given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. Father Hardin is a professor of theology and teaches at the Pontifical Institute for Advanced Studies in Catholic Doctrine at St. John's University in New York. Father is well known as a lecturer, retreat master, and author. This second series of retreat conferences has proved to be of great spiritual inspiration and assistance to priests, religious, and laity alike. Because, like all of Father Hardin's conferences, one can be well assured they are founded on solid Catholic doctrine. In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, Self-Knowledge as a Sinner. Father Hardin.
We might give a title for the present conference and say that we are speaking about the knowledge of ourselves as sinners. The first step on the road to sanctity is a knowledge of God's plan, His plan for the universe at large, His plan for me. In fact, a good descriptive definition of vocation is God's plan for me. But if that is the first and fundamental basis on which we can then build the edifice of holiness, the second is the knowledge of self. Without the knowledge of God, we couldn't talk about growth in holiness, since holiness is becoming like God, and we must first know who God is and what His plans are for me if I wish to aspire to become like Him. But correspondingly, there would be no realism in the pursuit of sanctity unless along with and beyond my knowing God, I also know myself. Because it is I who am to work out my salvation and sanctification. Now, this knowledge of self comprehends many things. It includes, as we have seen, the knowledge of the fact that I have a fallen human nature. It is an awareness of the fact that, living as I do by faith, I must motivate myself to do things which I do not like, or not do things which I do like, not because I fully understand, but because I believe. But there is one particular area of self-knowledge that is indispensable if we are ever to grow in that sanctity to which we have been called. I must know myself as a sinner. And that in two ways, so that the present conference will span both the knowledge of myself as a sinner in the light of my past sins and sinful tendencies, that's part one, and the knowledge of myself in my moral weaknesses, in the pursuit of holiness. These two are not the same. That is, my sins and sinful tendencies and my weaknesses. Let's first divide this knowledge of my past sins from the awareness of my sinful tendencies. And lest you think, and you may as we go along, how prosaic can you get? Why? We are religious. We are pursuing holiness. And here he is talking to us about sin. What does he think this is? A parish mission? Or a conference to convicts? Oh yes, sisters, I know to whom I am speaking, because I know the speaker, and he is a sinner. First then, these past sins. It is one thing to talk about my past sins in the generic, almost abstract admission, well, yes, I belong to the human race. The human race is a sinful human family. Therefore, I too must have been a sinner. It's more than that. Each one of us has his or her own history of sin. And it is as much a part of our personality as is the spirit with which God created us. No two of us have the same past history. It may be called part of our respective autobiographies. So that when we speak of past sins, it is not just sins in general, it's my sins. God has been offended in a unique way by me. Now clearly, the masters of the spiritual life would not insist on our periodic reflection on our past sinfulness if it were merely a question of recalling, say, what we have done. More than that, when we speak of profiting spiritually from our past sins, and we are to, we are all in this sense Magdalens, who having sinned are to be holier for having sinned. How can our past sins be a stepping stone to holiness? They become such when we practice a conscious awareness of what we had done in offending God. So that when we speak of awareness, we mean just that. This awareness of my past sins is not a mere passive knowledge. It is not mere data in my memory. It corresponds to the psalmist's terms, and my sins are always before me. I may know something vaguely about the fact that I have sinned, but this is different. It corresponds to the difference between knowing some past events and now recalling it and having it before my mind. This is one aspect of hagiography, that is, of the writings by and about the saints, that we are liable to pass over. This is where the Confessions of St. Augustine have remained such a great classic of spiritual self-revelation. When Augustine, and by now the thousands of other lesser Augustines, who wrote about their past sins, they did so with a deliberate intent to become aware of the fact that they have offended God. But there is still more to this awareness. It is not merely an active knowledge. It is therefore not only the fact of recalling that I have done wrong. It is the consciousness of the state of soul that I induced because of the acts of sin I committed. This bears some explanation. Because when we sin, we do two things. We both do something wrong, and we leave an effect in the soul which did the wrong. We, therefore, are sinners, which is what we are talking about, twice over, once in having committed actions that were wrong, but those are gone. And this recollection of my past sins is not only the recollection of past misdeeds, it is also in having, as a result, produced a sinful and therefore more or less estranged condition in my soul. Estranged from whom? From God. A husband in a burst of temper, before he leaves for work in the morning, says some bitter things to his wife. At the office, he comes to himself. What a fool, he says, I was. Now that husband did more than just perpetrate the wrong action in speaking bitterly to a devoted wife. He created a barrier between himself and her, right? When we sin, it's not merely the act of wrongdoing, it's the estrangement that follows, depending, of course, on the gravity and the deliberateness or what I've done wrong. How this bears emphasis. Otherwise, we shall somehow get the mistaken notion, and you can see what I'm building up to, the mistaken notion that having done wrong, well, all I've got to do now is, well, do something right. I did something bad, now I do something good. Like what? Like telling God that I'm sorry, say making a good confession, and it's over with. Oh, no. Of course, if the confession, say, has been well made, even grave sin as far as the guilt is concerned, is removed. But who says that the removal of guilt also automatically erases the estrangement that has been created between God and the soul? That's what reparation, expiation is all about. Otherwise, we will wonder, why bother? Finally, still on this level of my past sins, being consciously aware of them as a means of growing in holiness, this is to be a conscious awareness, which means that I cultivate the habit of a frequent mental advertence to both my sins and my sinful state. We need this in the pursuit of holiness, because a large part of the trials of serving God faithfully, the difficulties and the effort that has to be expended, is to be motivated by the fact that I know I should do it because I'm a sinner. And a thousand lives would not fully undo what I did, perhaps. In a few minutes, in having offended God, but then left a barrier between Him and me, that He gives me the rest of my life to work at removing. It then means paying attention to the fact, and not merely periodically, as it were, having it rise from the subconscious, oh yes, I've sinned. It's more than that. It is a deep-souled attitude of mind. I'm a sinner. That's my name. And that whatever good things I may have done in life, and please God, by now they have been many, I don't lose the realism of reciting the Hail Mary and meaning it. Pray for us sinners. That's me. So much for the knowledge of my past sins, which is not a mere statistical enumeration of what I've done wrong, but an awareness of the kind of person I am, a sinner. But I am also to be aware of my sinful tendencies. My sinful tendencies are a compound of many elements. We shall here identify the two principal ones for prayerful reflection and implementation in the retreat. The sinful tendencies that I've got may be seen as the tendencies I have, or the urges of what they are leading me to. And in this sense, the tendencies correspond to the seven capital sins. So what kind of sinful tendencies do I have? And I don't have to have any spiritual diagnosis. I know it. I have seven basic sinful tendencies. It's good to find some scheme for remembering what they are. My scheme is places G. P, pride. L, lust. A, anger. C, covetousness. E, envy. S, sloth. And G, you know what G stands for, gluttony. We've all got them. And any time we think we've graduated from those tendencies, we're in a bad way spiritually. We are freed from these tendencies only with death. And I've assisted enough people at their deathbed to know that some even assert themselves then as life. Another way of looking at these tendencies is to ask where they come from. The first is, what do they lead to? And they lead to what the church over the centuries has called the seven capital sins. The source of these tendencies are first and most obviously our own fallen human nature. This corresponds to concupiscence. I don't know where the idea ever surfaced, but I really believe that many people, when they hear the word concupiscence, they think of the flesh. Well, there are sinful tendencies of the flesh, which are concupiscence. But not only. There are two kinds of concupiscence, be it said. There is concupiscence of the flesh, and there is concupiscence of the spirit. You see, when we say that we have a fallen human nature, that nature of ours is not only the body, it's also the spirit. Come to think of it, take a thing like pride. How do we know that pride, the sinful tendency towards pride, does not belong to the body? Well, from all that we are able to gather on the basis of the churches, teaching, the angels, who by definition have no bodies, nevertheless sin by pride. Pride is a fundamental spiritual concupiscence. Envy. The sadness we feel at someone else's either having what we don't have or achieving what we have not achieved. You would think as social beings we would be happy at other people having what we don't have, or succeeding where, well, we haven't. But no, we're sad. That's strange.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.